what we're going to do this week is we're going to look deeper at that fourth way that God speaks to us, God speaking through impressions, because it can be the most abused of them all. And we need to look carefully at what God tells us in His Word about the posture that we need to hold in being able to receive guidance from God, impressions from God, leading from God, as well as to also be able to test those impressions. And that's what we're going to focus on next week. But today, what I want to look at is this. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 has been a pivotal verse for me in my 39 years of walking with God. And it is this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will direct your paths." That's the focus of what we're going to talk about today, is that God tells us, "Trust in me with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding," which is a real temptation for me. I don't know about you. But it says, "Seek His will in all that you do, and He will direct your paths." Now, it says that I can trust God with everything in my life. Do you see that? It says that I can trust God with everything in my life, and I can receive guidance from Him in everything in life. He wants to direct my paths. He wants to guide me. He wants to be involved in my life. And so, therefore, if I look back at my history, at times of pivotal decision-making, it was inbred in me early on in my walk with God that I needed to pray for God's guidance and then to discern which direction He was leading me, whether that be in the three major moves that moved to Waterloo, Iowa, and then to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then to Spokane, Washington, crisscrossing all over the country, an important decision because I was dragging my family with me as well. I needed God to tell me where He would have us land. Health decisions throughout the years, not only with myself and with Chris, but with our kids. Financial difficulties and challenges that we had. Lord, I need Your guidance here. Decisions with regard to the church. Lord, we need Your direction here. We need Your guidance. And I ask it confidently because it says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths." How to get guidance from God is important. And before we begin looking at how to receive guidance, the steps that were given in the Word of God to enable us to open the avenue for receiving guidance, I wonder if you would do something. Would you please bring to mind an area of your life that you're facing, a major decision that you are faced with, perhaps that you need to make over the next week or two. Just try to get a major thing that's going on in your life, and major is a relative thing. Sometimes what I think is major is minor to you. It doesn't matter. A decision that you need to make in your life in the next few weeks, would you please bring that to mind, so that you can make ready application of God's Word to your specific situation? Could you do that? Let's dive right in. We're going to look at six steps that Habakkuk tells us. Habakkuk doesn't get a lot of playtime in the Christian church. Habakkuk. In fact, many of you probably not even read Habakkuk. Maybe most of you have not even heard of Habakkuk. Almost sounds like a cousin to Hiccup. That just came to me, by the way. That was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit you just heard. Habakkuk, Hiccup. Write it down. My wife says I say that too much. I don't care. Write it down. Habakkuk, in an interesting little book, Habakkuk is called a minor prophet in the Old Testament. And in Habakkuk 1, Habakkuk had six questions that he asked of God. Six things that he wanted to know. Six concerns that were on his heart. And he wanted an answer. He needed an answer from God. In chapter 2, he asks the six questions. And he postures himself ready to receive. He's ready to listen. And here is what he says. He says, I will climb up into my watchtower now and wait to see what the Lord will say to me and how he will answer my questions. Some of the translations say complaints. Isn't that often the way that we are, complaining? But he was asking questions. And then the Lord said to me, write my answer. Go back. I'm not ready yet. Go back. Please go back. There you go. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. Now. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. In these two verses, we have the six steps on how to hear from God. Are you ready? Number one is want. Want. I must have desire. I need to be willing to listen. Doesn't that make sense? I need to be willing to listen to God's will. I must desire to do God's will. It all starts with our desire, wanting to hear God. Habakkuk begins with these words, I will. I will. I'm taking a step because I desire to hear from God. He's saying, I'm deciding to listen to God. It's a choice. The point is that you're never going to hear from God unless you want to hear from God. It is that simple. Let me repeat it again. You're never going to hear from God unless you want to hear from God. It's that simple. God speaks to those who want to hear from him. So it starts with our own desires. Of course, the classic example of this is King David. He wrote in Psalm 85, I want to hear what God the Lord says. More in Psalm 40, he says, my God, I want to do what you want. He says, I don't want to just hear. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to obey. Now, that's interesting that in the Bible, David is referred to as a man after my own heart. God says of David that he is a man after his own heart. Wow. What a compliment David received. God says, you are a man after my own heart. Now, why did he call David a man after his own heart? Because he was perfect? Because I don't know if you know about David, but he was far from perfect. He was a murderer as well as an adulterer. So he wasn't perfect, and that isn't why God says that David is a man after my own heart, because he lived a perfect life, and everybody can look at David and say, see, that's what you're supposed to be like, perfect. Because David was very flawed. So why did God call David a man after his own heart? It was because David was passionate about hearing from God. As you read through the Psalms written by David, he says, I long to hear from you, Lord. I desire to hear from you. Like a deer pants for water, I am thirsty for you and to hear from you. I'm hungry for you. I crave you. I want to know your will more than anything else. It is the yearning of my heart. And because David's desire, more than anybody else, was to want to hear from God, God spoke to him more than anybody else. You see, we have to have a desire to want to hear from God before we can actually hear. Now, let me ask you a personal question. How serious are you about wanting to hear from God? God speaks to people who say, God, I have got to know what you want for my life. I need to know what your will is for my life. I need to know what your will is for my family. I need to know what your will is for this decision that I need to make. You are as close to God as you choose to be. If you don't want to hear from him, then you won't. But don't blame somebody else. Put the blame right where it belongs, because it starts with a desire on our parts. This is what God says in Deuteronomy. He says, if you search for God's will with all your heart and soul, you'll find him. If you search for God with all your heart and soul, you'll find him. This is the first step in getting guidance from God. I need to want to hear from him, to want to receive guidance from him. Step number one. Second step. The second step of getting guidance from God, we learn from Habakkuk, is withdraw. I must get alone. I decide to withdraw. That means you get alone, you get in a quiet place. What did Habakkuk say? Habakkuk said, he said, I will climb up into my watchtower. I'll climb up into my watchtower. Now, what does that mean? I'll climb up into my watchtower. That's a Hebrew expression that is used for, I am going to get alone. I'm going to give above it all. I'm going to withdraw and get in a quiet place. The point is, you cannot hear God's voice if you are surrounded by noise. I cannot hear God's voice if I am surrounded by noise. And have you ever taken an inventory of the amount of noise in your life? It's everywhere. You get in the car, turn on the radio. You go for a walk, put on the Walkman. You go into a store, there's music that's playing over the loudspeaker. You get into an elevator, and even in an elevator, you have noise. There's elevator music. So in order to get away from the noise, we have to intentionally decide to withdraw. That's why it's so important to get alone in a quiet spot, to decide to remove as many distractions as possible, as many physical distractions as possible. Now, would you agree that sometimes it's kind of tough to find a quiet place in today's world? How about just in your own house? Is it hard to find a quiet place, especially if you are parents of children? How hard is it to find a quiet place? Parents of preschoolers, how easy it is to find a quiet place. Now, I want to give you a little encouragement, especially those of you with parents of small children. That is in the life of Susanna Wesley. She had 18 children, and that's not the encouraging part. Two of her sons literally changed history. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And Charles Wesley wrote hundreds of Christian hymns. And both of them attributed their love for God to their mom's passionate love for God. She prayed every day, every afternoon. Now, how do you find time to withdraw and pray every day when you've got 18 kids? We need to take a lesson here. Well, here was her strategy. Sometime in the afternoon, she had a rocking chair, and she'd sit down in that rocking chair, and she'd take her long apron, and she'd pull it over her head. That's the way that she would withdraw. She'd pull her apron up over her head, and all the kids knew that if you disturbed mom when the apron was over her head, you're going to get killed. In the name of Jesus, but you're going to get killed. Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Notice it says often. Jesus knew that he needed a regular part of his life to be with God, and he was God himself. We need to take a cue there. And Jesus gives us some specific advice about that in Matthew 6:6 in the Message paraphrase. I love this. It says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. If you're going to do that, then there's two words that will motivate you to get alone with God, and that is these two words, God cares. God cares about your life. God cares about my life. God cares about the decisions that I need to make, that you need to make. God cares about every piece of our lives, and that's motivation to get together with him in a secluded place so that I can talk to him, and more importantly, that he can talk to me. You know, the truth is that God is far more willing to talk to us than we are to talk to him. There was a billboard strategy that took place a few years ago in Broward County, Florida. It was called the God Speaks strategy. And what happened was that somebody, and we really don't know who it was an anonymous person, bought all kinds of billboards in southern Florida, and put up messages. You're driving down the freeway, and all of a sudden, you see something that says, "We need to talk, God." Or, "Love the wedding, now invite me to your marriage." Or some with a little bit more bite to them, "Oh, what part of thou shalt not didn't you understand, God?" Or, "Keep using my name in vain, and I'll make the rush hour longer." Or, how about this one? "Need directions?" Or, "Let's meet at my house on Sunday before the game." Or this one, which God certainly does say, "I love you, I love you, I love you." God wants to say something to us. It's one thing to hear God speak. And if withdrawing to a quiet place was all you needed to hear God speak, then it would be a snap, wouldn't it? But those are just the first two steps of hearing God. The next thing you do is you have to calm yourself down, and that's the third step, which is wait. Wait. I need to calm my thoughts, calm my emotions. I need to get the exterior distractions out of the way, but then I need to calm the interior distractions. Does that make sense? Now you have to settle yourself down on the inside. In Habakkuk 2, he says, "I will wait." In other words, I'm going to wait to hear God. I'm going to silence the distractions in my voice, in my head, and I'm going to wait on God. The NIV, the New International Version, translates this. It says, "I will station myself." And what does that mean? It says, "I'm going to stay put. I'm going to be still. I'm not going to move until I hear from God. I'm planted right here to be able to hear from God." Now, why is that important? It's important because hurry is the death of prayer. Hurry is the death of prayer. The reason why we don't hear from God is because we're in too much of a hurry. "God, I've got 2 minutes and you've got to speak fast. You know, here, I'm going to give you all my needs, and then, oh, whoops, I don't have no time to listen." You know, we are hurried. And therefore, how are you going to hear the voice of God if you're hurried? And you not only eliminate the physical distractions, we need to eliminate the mental distractions as well. And can I give you two huge distractions that I struggle with? And maybe you do too. The first is my circumstances. I'll sit down, say, "Okay, I'm in a quiet place. I'm going to spend some time with God." And all of a sudden, things just start popping into my mind. All of the unfinished tasks, all the calls that I need to return, all the responsibility, all the things that I can't forget. All kinds of things start popping into my mind. Does that happen to anybody else? What do you do? That's the question. What do you do when all those things are jumping in your mind, and all of a sudden one second you're talking to God and the next second you're thinking about the to-do list that you've got? Well, here's a little trick. Try it. And that is, have a pencil and pad by your side. And when you're praying and something comes into mind, say, "Ooh, I gotta get the milk, and I can't forget that because I'll get killed if I don't get the milk." You know, just write it down so that you don't forget it, and then let it go. Write it down. Write those things that are occupying your mind. Write them down so you don't forget them, and then forget them. Now you say, "Well, I can't do that right in the middle of prayer. That'd be a little rude." Well, God will understand, because God's already, "What are you thinking about? I thought you were talking to me." It's a great way of being able to set aside those things that are in our heads that get in the way of our prayer. Just write them down and then forget them, because you've got them down. You can read them later. The circumstances tend to get in the way of our being able to quiet our souls. And here's the second one. Our conscience. Our conscience. All of a sudden, you're praying, and what's brought to mind is all the failures that you've performed in life, all the missteps. And all of a sudden, there's a tendency for things to come in your head that say, you know, "You're praying to God when you said this to your son just a few minutes ago? You think God deserves to hear you when you did this 3 years ago? When the posture of your thought patterns are the way that they are? When you say the things that you say, do the things that you do, think the things that you think, and you think God should listen to you?" And all of a sudden now you're majorly distracted. You know what I've discovered throughout my years of walking with God and helping others walk with Him? Is that there are two voices that we hear in life. One is God and one is the enemy. Satan, who wants to distract us, who wants to destroy our relationship with God. A constant question you need to ask yourself, is this God speaking to me or is this Satan? Is this the voice of God speaking to me or is this the enemy speaking to me? And I tell people that all the time because we are so used to hearing accusing voices and belittling voices and voices that would humiliate us, and we believe them. When we need to stop and say, is this a voice of God? Or is this the voice of the enemy? And if it's the voice of the enemy, we need not listen. And so we need to fill our minds with the truth of the voice of God. And so what do you do when your conscience might accuse you to the point of stopping your prayers? Well, maybe we need to memorize a few scriptures. I have loved you with an everlasting love, God says. That means it never stops. I love you, I love you, I love you, like the billboard. Or, nothing can separate me from the love of God, Romans. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. We have to counterbalance the voices of the enemy that would seek to get in the way of our being able to communicate with God with the truth. You see, the fact is the relationship that God has with us is not based on my performance. It's based on His character. It's called grace. It's called love. If it was based on my actions, we have no relationship. If it was based on my thoughts, we have no relationship. If it's based on what I do and don't do, we have no relationship. It's based on His character, His love. Psalm 40, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Notice it says, be still. It doesn't say, run hard and know that I'm God. It says, be still. These are the steps to getting guidance from God. I first have to want, I have to desire to hear God's will. Secondly, I have to withdraw. I need to get alone and eliminate the physical distractions. And thirdly, I need to wait. And then fourth, I need to watch. I need to watch. I watch and I let God give me the answer. Now that's different than what you've got written on your page because I got last minute revelation. So it is that I watch and I let God give me the answer. Notice Habakkuk, the fourth thing he does is he says this. He says, I will look to see what He will say to me. Now, why does he say that? Why does he say that I'm going to look at what God says? Doesn't it make more sense to say, I will listen to what God says? He says, I will look. I'm going to look to see what God has to say. This is where the answer comes. This is where we seek to discern the answer. You watch to see God's answer to you. It could be an impression that God gives you during the course of prayer, that this is an idea or a mental picture that God gives to you. But it also could be after you leave that prayer. You say, Lord, I need your guidance with regard to this particular situation. And all of a sudden, you're having a conversation with someone who has no idea what you prayed about, and they are speaking directly to your issue. You think that's an accident, a coincidence? There is no coincidence with you when you walk with God. That is God revealing His answer to you. It could come through doors that God opens for you that say, go ahead. And that is an open door, an answer to your prayer. It could be a closed door where you stub your toe. And that's God's answer to you. Watch to see what God is going to do to guide you, lead you, direct you, answer you. Here's something that has helped me, is that in my prayer life, I first ask God a specific question. You ask God a specific question. In fact, over 20 times in the New Testament, we are told to ask. God says, I want you to ask in prayer. And it says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. I love James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But when you ask Him, notice this. When you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. Be sure that you really expect Him to answer. And then it goes on to say that if you don't, then your prayer is like a wave in the sea, and pretty soon it just blends in with everything else. If you don't expect God to answer, guess what? You've closed your ears to hearing the answer. You've closed your eyes to seeing the answer. This is a very important verse because it tells us three truths. First, that God wants you to ask Him for advice. He's interested in every detail of your life. Second, it says that He wants to be specific. And more specific, and the more specific you are, the better, because it builds your faith in God when you are specific, not just a general, oh, bless me, you know, but specifically, Lord, this is the issue that's going on in my life, and I need you to guide me. And third, He wants you to expect an answer. He wants me to expect an answer. In fact, He says, don't pray and ask something from me if you don't expect me to answer. Don't waste your time or mine. Expect an answer. Now, the second thing you do after you give a specific question is that you also look into God's Word. Most of the answers for life are in the book. And so we go to God's Word first and allow God to speak to us through His Word. Mike talked a little bit about that last week, and it's true. There have been many times when there's an issue that's hot in my life, uppermost in my mind. As I'm reading the Word, it's like, it just comes off the page. God speaking. And then looking for answers outside of that too. In the goings on of your life. The Bible says, open my eyes so that I may see the wonderful truths of your word. That's what it means to watch and pray. Now there's a fifth thing that Habakkuk teaches about getting guidance from God. And that is, number five, write. I must record the answer that I receive. Because what Habakkuk says, he says, the Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly what I've revealed to you. Because Habakkuk wrote it down, we have the book called Habakkuk. That's what it's all about. He asked God a question. God gave him an answer. He wrote it down. We have the testimony of that today. And we need to follow suit. We need to keep a journal because it almost becomes a record of God's grace. That we need to keep a journal, and on one side we need to list the things that we have asked of God, and then as they're answered, we need to put that on the other side. Answered. This is what God told me. This is how God led me. Because you know what? That becomes grace in the bank. It becomes a confidence builder as you approach God and as you approach life to say, you know, God has answered prayer. Look at this. These are the requests that I made of God. These are the leadings that I've asked of God, and He has given it to me. So these are the steps. I want, I withdraw, I wait, I watch, I write, and the last step is I worship. I worship. I need to thank God for speaking. I need to thank God for speaking. That's only polite. I've asked you, Lord, to lead me. I've asked you to guide me. I've asked you to give me an answer. And when you do, I want to thank you for that. That's a natural response of hearing from God. I worship. And that's what Habakkuk did in chapter 3, verse 2. He says, Oh, Lord, now I have heard your report and I worship you in awe. When you receive God's response to a question, it makes you love Him more. Worship Him and thank Him. I love what Philippians says when it says, bring all your requests to God and thank Him for what He's already done. It's that thanking Him for what He's already done that we are a little lax on. And worship is a means of being able to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for being concerned about my life. Even this nitpicky little detail that is so important to me, but in the grand scope of things, isn't all that important. But you care about even that. Thank you, Lord. Six steps to getting guidance from God. If you'll start following these six steps, then prayer becomes more than a monologue. It becomes a dialogue. It'll turn prayer from just asking to a conversation where God will be speaking to you. And God wants a conversation with you. But here's the key. Let's not miss this. Here's the key. Here's a key to it all. The key to hearing God is that you first need to know Him. You can't hear God unless you know God. You can't hear God unless you have a desire to know Him even deeper. You know, everybody here is in one of three relationships with God. I know that. Not because I'm brilliant, but because that's the truth that the Word of God gives us. We all are at one level or another of relationship with God. For some of us, we are in a recognition phase. For others, we are in an acquaintance mode. And for others, we're in a friendship mode. Some of you might be in the recognition stage. In other words, you recognize that God exists, but you really don't know anything about Him. And you need to step up to the next level of growing closer to knowing, loving. Some of you are in the acquaintance stage, that you know God and God knows you, but you don't know Him very well. He's just an acquaintance, someone you pass by every once in a while. And that needs to grow deeper. And then some of you are in a friendship mode where Jesus is a personal friend. You know why you were made. You know that you were made to be loved by God and to love Him. And you're seeking to grow closer to Him and open up your heart to allowing Him to do things in your life, to mold you, to shape you, to love you, to pick you up, dust you off, and push you along the way. And how do you become a friend of God? It's merely by inviting Him in. Say, I'm not going to resist you. I'm not going to keep you in an acquaintance level. But I desire to be in a personal relationship with the One who made me, who loved me. Loved me so much, He emptied Himself into the form of a human being and went to a cross to die in my place so that I could have a relationship with Him, a free and clear relationship with Him, and live with Him forever. And have purpose for today and tomorrow and the next day. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. That's why we've talked about what we've talked about today. Is that we're talking about relationship. We're talking about not only bringing to God your requests, but also hearing from God. That's what a relationship is. Let's pray together. I'd invite you just to say in your heart, along with me, dear God, I am amazed that you would want me for a friend. I am amazed that you created me so that you might love me and I might love you. And I want to learn to have conversations with you. Lord, help me to practice these steps this week. And not only to practice them, but to share them with someone else, to pass them on. Thank you for caring for all the details of my life. Jesus Christ, I want to know you more and more every day. I want to depend on you for guidance. God, I need your guidance. In my job, in my family, in my future, in my finances, and every area of my life. I invite you, Jesus, to be the manager of my life. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen.